Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100, and get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford. I'm coming to you from Newcastle upon Tyne, the northeast corner of England. Today is Tuesday, the 29th of November. And we are here to chat a little bit of everything, really. National League awards, recipients, some free agent stuff. Just a little bit of, just a touch base with a little bit of baseball. Firstly, I'm going to introduce our co-host. Been a little while, so I'm delighted to talk to him on an epic night for the United States of America. Joining us from the greatest country in the goddamn world is Mr. Dylan Rockford. D-Rock, how you doing?
Malcolm, it is a pleasure. Yes, big win for the United States of America into the knockout round. Christian Pulisic said Captain America does it again. At what cost, though? Hopefully he'll be ready for the Netherlands on Saturday. But yeah, good to be with you. We're going to be starting to publish more content through the offseason. And yeah, can't wait to get into it. We got National League awards today.
Yeah, you're right. I think we're going to try and just sort of keep the show going maybe once every week, once every couple of weeks. Lots of things to touch on. Obviously, the hot stove will be going. So I need to caveat a few things before I get before we get into the show tonight. Is that firstly, I'm in full on football mode, and I mean soccer. I'm in full on World Cup mode. So I probably sound more English and more northern than you're used to me, because I've just been in that. But I've been doing a show every night on the World Cup with my friend, who's also another Geordie from Newcastle.
Barry.
With Big Barry, yeah, big miserable Barry. So if I sound more northern and more English than usual, you're just going to have to deal with it. I am, how I remember to say the MLB Gambling Podcast at the top of the show is an absolute miracle. So yeah, you've kind of got soccer amalgam. And I'm going to have to really get my head around MLB. I've been fighting between saying things like parlay and accumulator. I started saying Iran a lot the last few days. And then, did you see Tyler Adams get told off by all the Iranian journalists for saying Iran?
So I was a political, funny story, so I was a political major, political science major in college. And everyone pronounced it Iran in college, like all the students, but our political science professors, he always corrected us and said it is Iran. So I knew it, but I felt like the guy was kind of being a dick. But
they were being dicks for about an hour and a half. How fucking Berhalter and Adams kept their composure.
Yeah, they asked class act. And I wish athletes like Kevin Durant or Kyrie, I wish they would be able to handle a dick reporter like that.
Yeah, a little bit of media training. They were, at one point they asked him sort of why they hadn't pulled all the warships out the Persian Gulf. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm choosing who's playing left back. I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm not in charge of the warships.
The World Cup.
The World Cup has been lots of fun. I might as well plug the World Cup Gambling Podcast while I'm here. Yeah. Picks have been terrible, but we're all having a lovely time. So you can't have it both ways, can you?
I mean, Noah hit a parlay, so shout out Noah and shout out you for just fading you. But hey, it's for the content. That's all that matters.
Well, I'm claiming kind of partial credit for the USA's victory tonight because I've been in such bad form. I stuck Iran on the graphic today as my pick. So the minute I did that, the USA were absolutely home and over the line as winners. So yeah, claiming victory for that one. Yeah, right. Let's try and talk a little bit of baseball. We haven't chatted, Dylan, since our recap show at the end of the World Series. So I think later in the week, Moonaf and Noah are going to tackle the American League. But we said we'd have a little look at the National League tonight. And we'll go through the award winners and then touch on some free agents. There's been a couple of moves and a few meetings in the last day or two, so we can talk about them. And like you say, most things having a bit of a slant towards the National League whenever we can. But we'll start with the awards and the National League MVP. And really, it was a pretty straightforward award. Paul Goldschmidt of the St. Louis Cards, the veteran. First time that Goldie has won that award. He had a run at the Triple Crown at one point, hit .317 on the season, 35 home runs, 115 ribbies, lots of big numbers. 578 slugging, his OPS was right. These were all first in the league. Slugging 578, OPS 981 in OPS plus 180. Plus he was top three in runs, ribbies, total bases, average, OBP, war. Quite a good story as well, because I feel like Goldie's quite an easy guy to root for, Dylan. So yeah, a pretty comprehensive performance there from the vet, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was Goldschmidt's best year of his career. Like you mentioned, you rattled it off, 317. He hit for 35 home runs, 115. And he also helped lead the Cardinals to another NL Central title. So, you know, that comes into factor as well. And, you know, he beat out his teammate, Nolan Arenado. He was in the running as well for MVP. He beat out Padres star Manny Machado as well. He got 380 total votes. He got 22 first place votes. I'm happy he finally won one. Like you mentioned, he's been in the running before, and he's had such a great career. He's an easy guy to root for, and he's probably been one of the best players, I think, in the last decade or nearly decade. So he's finished top three in this award voting three times. He's finished top 10 two other times. So it's good that he finally got over the hump, and I still think he has a lot of production left in the tank.
Yeah, I totally agree. I wouldn't. I'm assuming he'll be back with the Cardinals again next season, and they were good again this year. Obviously, 2 years ago they came with that mad second half run, put together that huge winning streak, and this year really were one of our success stories in terms of picks, because at the halfway stage in the season, it was a team ride. We all fancied them. They were plus money to take down the Milwaukee Brewers and get away in that Central Division. And they did it really, really easily. Something else that Paul Goldschmidt did win, which kind of echoes everything we've just said about him, is that he won the Heart and Hustle Award at the MLB give out as well, which is kind of what you've done in the community, you know, what you've given back, just your general demeanour, behaviour, all that sort of thing. So that speaks volumes to the kind of guy that Paul Goldschmidt is. And he's going to be a big part of this Cardinals team. And I think the Brewers are going to get busy in free agency, hopefully have some new signings. I think Chicago Cubs will as well, but this isn't the most competitive of divisions, and St. Louis have to be there or thereabouts next season again, Dylan.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to think getting him back, getting Nolan Arenado back, you know, the pitching staff. I like the manager as well. I thought he was in contention for NL Manager of the Year as well. And he also won the Aaron Award, the Hank Aaron Award as well, Paul Goldschmidt. This is the third time he received that award. So he was just collecting trophies this year. You know, he paced the NL in slugging .578, OPS .981, OPS plus .180. He finished top three in runs with 106, RBIs 117, 324 total bases, and on base percentage 404. So just an all around amazing year for Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, and hopefully we're going to season out to Jack Flaherty next year for the Cards as well.
Hopefully
but
he can
who
stay
knows?
Healthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sorry. Do you think, how about Wainwright? Do you think he has any left in the tank?
I think, firstly, Wainwright, I believe, is going to pitch in the World Baseball Classic, where the GB, Team GB, are shaping up to give the US a good old spank in there, Dylan. There's still, if there's room on the end of the bench, boys, for a low-leverage situation, substitute fielder, then you know where to find me. But yeah, Wainwright's going to have a game, I think, in the for the US in that. But yeah, I mean, Wainwright, he's going to eat a lot of innings, I think. He might be a SP4 now, maybe. Well, in fact, he'd be kind of an SP3.5. He's not going to sort of instill the fear of God into anyone. But if he's your SP3 or 4, I think he can do a lot worse, Dylan.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Moving on, National Lung Cy Young Award winners, Sandy Alcantara, unanimous vote here. This was a bit of a throwback result because the main thing Alcantara did, not the main thing, one of the big things Alcantara did was throw more innings than anybody else. And that just doesn't really happen anymore. 228 in two-thirds is a proper workload, and he was absolutely great. So that was the most in MLB. He threw 6 complete games himself, which was more than any other team. None of the other teams in MLB had as many complete games between them as Sandy Alcantara did. He went 14-9 on the season. That was the one thing, being on that Miami Marlins team, was basically whether he was going to pick up enough wins, whether he was going to get enough run support to kind of stay relevant. 2.28 ERA, 207 Ks. So yeah, again, another nice story, another guy who doesn't seem very polarizing, who seems easy to root for. And I mentioned him. I don't think I put him up. We've got our little spreadsheet. I didn't put him up on my spreadsheet, but he certainly got an honourable mention. So I think I was kind of close to picking him for Cy Young. But yeah, it's a unanimous win. And I think Alcantara was just outstanding performer for Miami, Dylan.
Yeah, I honestly thought he was the best pitcher in baseball this season. You know, he's only 27 years old. He's younger than me, which is insane. He led the majors, 228 2/3 of an inning, six complete games, more than any other team in the major, and he has 8 WAR, which is wins adjusted replacement. So he's accounted for 8 wins just by himself. So I feel like every time he stepped out there, even though it was for the Marlins, it felt like a big game for them, even their fans, you know, even when their season was over, every time he got up and pitched, I thought the crowd was electric. People came to see him because how dominant he was. 2.28 ERA. It was second in the NL. He finished 4th in strikeouts. And I thought he was like the perfect combo of like quantity and quality. You know, he gave you a lot, and he was also good. He had very low pitch counts, which made him be able to pitch all 9 innings in those 6 games. He was able to get ahead of batters too, which is a very hard thing to do in the majors. So getting those low pitch counts, getting ahead in the pit in the count, those all lead to a successful season. So yeah, no complaint over here for me with Sandy Alcantara. I thought he was the best pitcher this year.
Next up was the rookie of the year, Michael Harris, the second of the Atlanta Braves. Easy winner of this award as well. Sort of mid-season, it was up in the air. In fact, Michael Harris didn't come up until May the 28th. After that, was good for 19 home runs and 20 stolen bases. So it was that power-speed combo that's really rare. He had 4.4 offensive war. Dylan's just explaining the war metric there. And 1.3 defensive war as well. So he's doing it on both sides of the ball. Hit 297, 514 slugging. I think the thing with Michael Harris is what's going to happen next year. I've got a little bit of concern about his whiff rate and his K rate. If you look at Baseball Savant, they're the metrics that are down in the blue numbers, which is where you don't want to be. His walk rate as well. So I think he could be really good or really bad. I'm a little bit concerned about it. I'm not obviously doing him down. We had to talk about his season that he had, and he was absolutely stellar and rightly won this award. I think he's currently slated a back two in this Atlanta lineup, and I'm not sure about that. I think by the middle of the season or by mid-May, we could see Michael Harris down at 7 or 8 in this lineup. But yeah, he came up and he was absolutely great. He's one of the great hopes for Atlanta Braves fans as well. So yeah, what did you make of Michael Harris, Dylan?
Yeah, as much as I hate it, the kid is a stud. You know, he plays for the Braves, and, you know, I think he is going to be a superstar in the making. And you mentioned him going down to seventh. I don't even think that's so bad. I just think that shows a little more depth for the Atlanta Braves that they do have. You know, like you mentioned, he finished with 19 home runs, 20 stolen bases, and a 4.4 offensive war and a 1.3 defensive war. And I think you mentioned it. The crazy part is his first game with the Braves was late May, May 28th. So he beat out other rookie on the Braves, Spencer Strider. So, and that makes them the eighth set of teammates to finish 1-2 in rookie of the year voting. So the Braves, I think they're set up for a long time. You know, Harris is the whole package for me. He can hit for average. He has power. He has speed on offense and the most terrific metrics on defense. You know, he plays very good defensively, I think, as well. So I think he deserved it. I don't know if he'll have a sophomore slump, but we will see. And, you know, I think if any team can pick up the slack, I think it's the Braves.
I love that little teammate 1-2 stat, Dylan, that you threw in. Stat of the night goes to Dylan Rockford. Manager of the year, and this is going to be pretty much one for you, Dylan. It's your guy, the New York Mets. Actually, the first ever Met manager to win it. What have you been doing all these years? Buck Showalter, who has now won the award with 4 different teams, led them to 101 wins before getting humped in the playoffs to the San Diego Padres. But yeah, Buck Showalter. And again, easy guy to root for, Dylan. And as a New York Mets fan, you can tell us all about it.
Yeah, my man, Buck Showalter, you know, he became the first manager to win this award with 4 different teams. He helped, like you said, we got 101 wins after that poor performance of 2 seasons ago. You know, he also became the first manager, Mets manager, to win the award. I don't know what we've been doing. I liked Willie Randolph back in the day. He was my guy, but I don't know what we've been doing. And, you know, a lot of people mentioned the Mets bankroll. And, yeah, the Mets do have a massive bankroll with Uncle Steve as the owner, but I feel like the task of meshing so many veteran high salary stars into one roster, I just don't think it should get overlooked. And I thought Buck Showalter was the perfect guy for the job. You know, he was very old school and he played a big part in bringing it all into focus. And, you know, even though we didn't win the whole thing, I thought one thing that goes unnoticed is how well he handled the bullpen and you really not overusing the best closer, which is Edwin Diaz. We re-signed him. And, you know, he also knew which buttons to push, which guys to use, how many to use. And probably he wanted to lean on Edwin Diaz as much as he could. But I thought he did a good job not overusing him. You know, I think we have one of the best managers in the league. We just have to do a better job at finishing the season. And I think that comes with time. It's only his first year with the Mets. So hopefully we get over the hump.
Yeah, I've said on the show a few times that the manager role in baseball is a bit of a weird one for me to get my head around because obviously I watch a lot of sport, like everyone on the network here, and we're all degens. And the manager or the coach, whatever title you want to give them, has a huge effect on the outcome of the game. But I don't feel like that's the case in baseball. What I've decided, Dylan, is that a bad manager can really fuck you up. Where like a good manager, it kind of goes under the radar, a little bit quiet. Like you just mentioned some of the good things that Showalter is, but I think a manager's main job appears to be in baseball is to not to actively destroy these wins on a daily basis by either lineup changes, bullpen decisions a lot of the time. And then, like you say, pinch hitting and pinch running. But yeah, it appears to just be to not fuck it up? Am I anywhere close, or is the manager doing a little bit more than that?
No, I think he is, and I think you saw it with the Mets manager 2 years ago when we had a different lineup literally every other game, and it kind of, for better lack of words, but it kind of fucks with the team's mojo and how they get into groove. So I think they do a lot of things that don't go noticed, and it just sucks because the job that he does is really important, and it's more than just what you see. Obviously the players go and play, they do most of it, but you know, setting them up in the right position, knowing when to sit a guy, knowing when not to throw the guy, I think that all comes into factor of how you know your team and how much time he spent with the Mets. So I do think there are some things that don't go noticed.
Okay. We're going to have a little bit of free agent chat after I've told you about our headline sponsor on the MLB Gambling Podcast, which is the WynnBET. If you're ready to win money and boost your odds, WynnBET is live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia, bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips with Wynn Rewards on WynnBET. If you're looking to get involved in the same game parlay, WynnBET is the place to do that. You can customize your own bet there as well. Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100 to win $100. Loads to choose from. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know that we sent you. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. T's and C's at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. So we'll start, Dylan. I hadn't planned this, but on the ground, we're on a bit of a Mets-a-thon here. You've already touched on Edwin Diaz re-signing, which makes sense. He was the best closer in baseball, and they've taken him back for another year. But we can stay with the Mets pitching staff. There's a couple here I want to talk with. Someone who's already on the books at the Mets, and then we've got another one who may be joining. But first off is really the big ticket article, and that's Jacob DeGrom. He seems favourite at the minute to stay in New York. DeGrom, are you worried, or do you think it's a done deal and he's going to be happy to stay? I think he turned down his qualifying offer, which a lot of people do because he's worth more than that. So that wasn't big news, but where do we go next?
So a part of me is a little worried. There are reports that he is the Mets' main focus, which I think he should be. You know, I think what rubbed him kind of the wrong way that I've read is, you know, you give so much to an organization and then a guy like Max Scherzer just comes in and gets $45 million for 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
When I think Jacob DeGrom is much better than him. So he's sitting there like, you just signed Diaz, giving him all this money. What about me? You know, like which I think is fair, but I also think on the Mets side, it's how can he stay healthy? Because that's the big bugaboo for the Mets is, can Jacob DeGrom pitch a whole season? I think we do re-sign him. It does worry me that the Braves are out there. They are lurking. They're probably going to make a push at him, but I hope we make him the priority. I hope he stays because he's the best pitcher in baseball when healthy. And I know Chris Bassett's not coming back. He declined the offer. Taiwan Walker, I don't think, is coming back either. So we're meeting with Carlos Rodon, another free agent from the Giants, and Justin Verlander. He's on our radar, but we're just piling up all these like old guys, I feel like, just to win a championship. And you know, that if Uncle Steve wants to do that, go ahead. I'm all aboard.
My next question was going to be about Carlos Rodon. There has been a Zoom meeting, the San Francisco Giant left-handed pitcher. He's been absolutely outstanding for a couple of years. He moved across from the White Sox, I think, to San Francisco. Kind of concerns that he was an injury guy, but that hasn't really borne fruit, and he's been fairly solid. So being a lefty as well, I think I think he could be a valuable addition to the New York Mets, Dylan.
Yeah, 100%. You know, he went 14-8. And the thing you said that I like that we don't have too much of is lefties. So you pair him up with a guy like Max Scherzer, Jacob deGrom, and then you could go and throw Carlos Rodon as a nice three. I love that. You know, he pitched three complete games. He had an under three ERA, which is good. He was third in the league in strikeouts with 237. So he can strike people out. He has a 103 whip. I think that's a great addition. I just don't want to overpay these guys. I know he has a lot of money and he's a billionaire, but there's another guy in a position player that I want the Mets to throw the bow at besides Jacob deGrom, and we'll get to him in a second.
Okay, but we'll get to him in a minute then, because I hadn't planned this. I was going to do this name by name. I've got another name that's about nine down my list here, but on the road, we've pretty much covered the entire Mets rotation, and you've already mentioned Taiwan Walker. 2021 All-Star, started 29 games last season, 12-5 record. Looks like a really good SP3, a rock-solid SP3. I like him a lot. I've seen loads of options, really, for landing spots for Walker. The Tampa Bay Rays, possibly. We know they like to cobble together their stuff. So how do you feel about Walker? Is he definitely not be returning to the Mets? And if not, where do you think he might end up?
Yeah, I like the Rays there. I don't think he will return just because the Mets aren't making him a priority. And, you know, he was our fourth pitcher. We had Jacob deGrom, Max Scherzer, Chris Bassett, and then Taiwan Walker. And what I think what really concerned me as just a casual fan, I wouldn't say casual, a diehard fan, is that he had a bad second half of this season. You know, he started off really good. He went to the All-Star game, but after that, he kind of tailed off. You know, he went 12-5. He had a 3.49 ERA. His walks worry me a little bit. He has that's his career, but you know, he had a lot of walks, and I think he's good. I just don't think he's in the Mets' plans immediately. The Mets are in win now mode, and I don't think he's the guy to get us over the hump. No disrespect. I like Taiwan.
No, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing ever changed by staying the same, Dylan. And you have to churn these players. You have to churn, I'd say, maybe at least two of your rotation every season just to keep things sharp and different. So we'll just, obviously I've got a list of names here. I think you've probably got similar. So we'll get back to the original plan. We'll throw some names back and forwards. There's one standout name I'll throw you next. But you mentioned that you had your eye on someone for the New York Mets. And who would that be?
Yeah, so that's probably the best shortstop that's available, in my opinion. Trey Turner from the Dodgers. He's 29. He's under 30. He has a 13 WAR. So the guy alone, besides Aaron Judge, who has a 17 WAR, he has the second best WAR. I think that one of the best defensive shortstops I've seen. And I know people are going to be like, oh, well, you have Francisco Lindor, but you can move these players. Francisco Lindor could play second, or you could play Trey Turner. But you put those two in the middle of the infield, he could hit for power. He gets on base. He steals. This guy, I think you give this guy the boat, because he could change your organization. He has postseason experience, which is what the Mets lack.
Yeah, he's absolutely outstanding. One of my favorite players, one who really, when I started watching baseball, Trey Turner's been probably more on my radar than most other players. He just does everything. I'm a big fantasy baseball guy. He's going to be a first rounder again, very high in the first round. Could be a 1-1 pick, Trey Turner, this season. So, yeah, I mean, what a coup that would be if he came to the New York Mets. The elephant in the room that we haven't touched on yet, and he's the size of an elephant, is Aaron Judge. So this is where the big money deal is.
Yeah.
He has already met with the San Francisco Giants, which just, I have no feelings about that. That inspired no feelings in me one way or the other. I just kind of felt a little bit meh about it. It's not a great hitter's park. I could see him bashing a few down into Triple's Alley down there. The one terrifying link that I saw was the LA Dodgers. They've lost Trey Turner, as you just mentioned, Justin Turner. I think he'll drop out of that lineup. So obviously the issue there is you've got Mookie Betts standing in right field. I think Mookie Betts could move to second base. Or you've got the DH spot as well. So I think, and obviously the third team, A third team, not that there's only three in, the New York Yankees, who are both willing and able to bring him back. So how's your feeling about Aaron Judge? Do you want him? I'm guessing you want him out with the pinstripes.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I hate that he's a Yankee, but I don't want him to come to the National League. I don't want him to face the Mets more than he already has to. So I want to ask you, because I do understand why the Giants have a lot of money they could throw at him. And, you know, he is from California. I understand he might want to go home. A lot of players do that. But winning in New York, you know, as much as I hate the Yankees, I think winning in New York means a little more to some people. You know, it might mean more to me, but I just think wearing those pinstripes, how historical they are. I sound like one of those freaking Yankee fans, but it's true. You wear those pinstripes and you look at all the history that they have, and you kind of want to be a part of it. I want to, you know, you mentioned them as their third option. Do you really think the Yankees are third on his list? Do you really think they?
That wasn't in a order of preference whatsoever. It was just the three teams that I've seen linked, and I have, obviously New York is the team that he was already with. So no, it wasn't a preference thing at all. It was how I threw them out. So yeah, the Giants. Like I said, by the way, you did sound like a fucking horrible New York Yankees fan. That reminded me of like a Manchester United fan talking about their team over here. And that sentence. So listen to you saying about baseball, I think, oh, that sounds reasonable. But if I flipped that and I heard you saying that about soccer, I'd think you were a right dickhead. So I can't get on board with that. I think he'll stay, is what I think. Yeah. If I was going to have a little bet now. I mean, it's not really. If you're going to price it up, you wouldn't have much in between them. But like I said, the Dodgers is the terrifying one. They have money. They've always got money. They've ditched Cody Bellinger. There's another name that we didn't mention there, along with Justin Turner and Trey Turner. But yeah, if you saw Aaron Judge, I mean, I suppose the only thing with Judge is the injury thing, which he kind of was all right this year. But
what about this too? What about his postseason? He hasn't always performed in the postseason. So, you know, I hear a lot about that. And as good as a regular season player he is, and he's probably the best I've seen in a while, he does kind of get cold in the playoffs a little bit, even in that short porch in the Bronx.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's that and the fact that he's a big lad, and I know he can DH occasionally. But that body has to hold up over the course of a grueling season. So yeah, Aaron Judge, an interesting one.
Malcolm, sorry to ruin your flow. I want to throw out a team that, you know, people might say I'm crazy, but what do you think about? Because they did it in basketball when Big Poppy, Tom Brady, Steph Curry, they all tried to recruit Kevin Durant to Boston. Do you think Steph Curry's a huge Boston fan? He's a Boston Red Sox fan. They got Big Poppy over there. They said they've been trying to recruit Aaron Judge to Boston. Do you think there's any of a slight chance that he might go up north to Boston?
It's unlikely. Boston do feel like they've got a couple of mad moves in them. There's quite a bit of chat. I think Bogart has gone back, but I think Boston are going to do some stuff, and I think they're going to do some surprising stuff, and they're going to spend some money. That may be a step too far, but I think it would entertain me if I saw him. I'd love to see Aaron Judge swap them over the monster. That would be great.
That would be great.
Yeah. Do you want to go down? Give us throw a name off your list, and then you want to talk about.
So you mentioned another shortstop. Another shortstop in Red Sox is Xander Bogaerts. You know, he's going to be a free agent. JD Martinez. I don't know if JD stays, but you got to think Boston does everything they can to try to keep Xander, right? With Rafael right on third. You got to think they keep that crew together. So I wonder how much and what, honestly, the market is for a guy like Xander Bogaerts. So I just want to throw that to you. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I do think the strong report at Bogaerts is going to stay. The Red Sox had a really low year. They have got some older guys, J.D. Martinez. Is Martinez gone now? Is he a free agent? Is he finished?
Yeah, he's a free agent as well.
Yeah. So I think they're going to... They've got some young lads. Obviously, Bobby D came up, and is it Tristan Casas, I want to say. They've got some players coming up, so they're going to start making moves. And I do think, like I say, they've got a couple of mad moves in them. They're going to spring some surprises, a couple of shocks. But I do think that keeping the core of that team is going to be important. We mentioned Justin Turner, mm-hmm. Having left the Dodgers. He's free agent as well. He'll be looking for a 1 year. Deal somewhere, third baseman or a DH. Mm-hmm. Obviously, very much in the veteran bracket now. His home runs dropped to 13 last year. But I've seen him linked with the Milwaukee Brewers. So this was kind of a lead into what the Brewers might need, because we were really low on the Brewers' offense for the second half of that season. We've already said that we love the Cardinals to beat them, and the Brewers' offense was one of the reasons why. They didn't have an awful lot there. Willy Adames was just about it. Rowdy Tellez did some stuff. Justin Turner, I think, has got a bit of life in him. And Justin Turner is 1 year to the Brewers. But then on top of that, what else for the Brewers? What do they need, Dylan?
I think they need more pitching to go along with Corbin Burns. But I like Justin Turner to Milwaukee. I don't. Who's their baseman? That guy, Mike... Brosan or whatever.
Brosso.
Yeah. So you pair him up with Willy Adames. It's okay. I would say. I still think they. I don't know why they traded their closer. So they traded their closer.
They
need help in their bullpen. I think they need. And I don't know if the manager is the guy. He the ex player Craig Counsell. Don't know if he's the guy, to be honest. So some questionable calls on that end. But, you know, for as the Justin Turner per se, I like him. He was also linked for a potential return to the Mets. I don't know if I would like that either. Because I want to give the rookie a shot. That Brett kid, I think he could be pretty good. He just needs time to play. So he's not going to get time if Justin Turner plays. So I like him to go to Milwaukee. They need some help.
Yeah, and I think Corbin Burns might be on his way out, actually. I saw him linked with the Dodgers as well. That's another potential.
Why does everyone link to the Dodgers?
Because they've got all the money and they win. And it's lovely and sunny, I think. They would be my three reasons. excuse me.
How about Joey Gallo? You know, he got traded to the Dodgers and now he's a free agent. And Joey Gallo, surprisingly enough, has like a 4.4 WAR. So as bad as he is, he is good defensively. But do you expect the Dodgers to re-sign Joey Gallo?
Joey Gallo will get a decent job somewhere. He'll get a decent contract. And I think he'd be all right. He's a bounce-back candidate. Some I always overdraft him in my fantasy leagues, even though he creates your batting average. Yeah, Joey Gallo will end up somewhere. And if get him to the somewhere where they can fix him, the Tampa Bay Rays or somewhere. Do you know what I mean? Joey Gallo. Similar left-handed bat is Andrew Benintendi, who went to the Yankees, got injured, hit 304, and is an excellent defender. He was the kind of player that the New York Yankees need. We talked about how they have all these big, beefy sluggers and not an awful lot else. We talk about the bits and bobs players that the New York Yankees need. I think Andrew Benintendi fits this description really well for the Yankees. A little bit of competition from the Astros, but kind of Benintendi fell off the radar a little bit. But he's an excellent player. He'd gone from sort of the Red Sox to the Royals, which didn't work out. But I could see him really sort of climbing his career trajectory, climbing again. I think the New York Yankees for Andrew Benintendi as well, Dylan.
Well, you know, the unfortunate thing is he did get hurt. So they didn't really get to see the full thing. You know, when they traded for him, they didn't really think he was going to get hurt. But, you know who I think that could use outfielders? And he was linked to another Met free agent who I hope we re-sign is Brandon Nimmo. a team like Colorado Rockies, they've been linked to Brandon Nimmo. Colorado needs a ton of help in the outfield. So maybe you think an organization like Colorado just throws the bolt and throws him a really good contract. And, you know, he gets more money and he'll probably play a little more than he does in New York with all that talent there, especially if Judge comes back. No, they play two different positions, but regardless, I think a team like the Rockies are more inclined to throw more money at him than the Yankees.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I absolutely love Brandon Nimmo. He's one of my favorites as well. I saw him linked to Toronto or Seattle, or maybe both.
I heard both.
Yeah, that was looked like a deal was relatively close at one point, but yeah, interesting to see where Nimmo goes, because I do like him a lot. I've got one more player to mention, Dylan, and then we'll let you wrap up and we can crack on. Is Brandon Drury. Brandon Drury at the Padres last year. Super utility guy. Hit 263 with 38 home runs. And I think he sort of deserves a long-term deal somewhere. Drury, Cleveland have been linked with him. And I think a team that doesn't have a DH, I think there would be somewhere like that. So Drury can play and they can kind of move him around and give these guys a day off on a daily basis. So a team that doesn't have a set DH or a good DH or looking for help in that department. But I think Brandon Drury could be a really valuable piece for somebody, Dylan.
What team did you say he was linked to? I'm sorry.
Cleveland.
Cleveland, okay. It's crazy because didn't he play third base?
Yeah. Well, you saw him. He plays everywhere, second, third. He's kind of eligible and first. He's eligible all in fantasy. He's kind of multi-positional, super utility eligible. So yeah, he can move around the diamond and give people a day off. DH while he plays the field.
You know who I think in a team we just talked about who needs power that they hit for a lot of contact is the Milwaukee Brewers. I think they're a team that could, but he's already on that team. But, you know, maybe like a team like Miami Marlins, you know, they're another team that lacks power. Maybe he goes down to who the hell wouldn't want to live in Miami? No state income tax. You're chilling. You play in a nice area. So maybe a team like the Miami Marlins, but I kind of like him staying in Milwaukee. I think they need a power guy.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, Cleveland was the one team that we talked about, especially in the playoffs, that apart from J-Ram, just couldn't hit the ball out. And Noah was at pains to point out that you do need players that can hit the ball out. As much as you need to cobble together runs, it's a bit of a misnomer that you can kind of play a small ball in the playoffs. It's going to work. You need to score some runs quickly on occasions. And apart from Jose Ramirez, Cleveland struggled with that.
Yeah, I agree.
Good.
No, I was just going to say real quick, I also think they need a little more starting pitching, Cleveland.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else you want to talk about, Dylan?
Just toward the list, you know, I think the shortstop market is phenomenal. Like we mentioned, Trey Turner, Carlos Correa, he wasn't happy in Minnesota. So it's interesting to see where he's definitely not going to Houston. They replaced him with a rookie. Dansby Swanson, he's a free agent. Elvis Andrews. So I think shortstop's a very good market. Besides Aaron Judge, you got a guy like Mitch Haniger. He's another power hitter who I think could go somewhere. Matt Carpenter, Andrew McCutchen. I also want to see what they do if Houston re-signs Trey Mancini. You know, that was a really big story. I like him. He's how do you root it against a guy that beat cancer and came back and won the World Series? So I love Trey Mancini. I hope he gets signed somewhere. So yeah, just a few key free agents that, you know, you should keep your eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. There was dozens of names that we could have mentioned, but that was a fun chat, Dylan. A nice little 45 minutes on the National League. Thank you very much for joining me. It's been nice to catch up again. I don't feel like we've talked baseball for ages. You've got another important point you want to make, Dylan?
Yeah, real quick. I know we'll be discussing the 2023 World Baseball Classic soon because it comes out in March. Do you know who the favorite is?
It's not. Is it not the U.S. then? You're telling me.
USA, baby, plus 260 at the book that I'm looking at. Dominican Republic's at plus 310. Japan plus 410. Puerto Rico plus 950. Who do you got your eye on, and why isn't it the United States?
Well, yeah, the United States, because it's a really short format. Like we just saw this in the playoffs. So, although there is clearly going to be a disparity in class, but I think Jazz Chisholm is going to fire Team GB. The glory, Dylan, is what's going to happen. Oh. That's our guy.
Oh no! Let me see the odds for Great Britain.
I was going to say you didn't sort of get to GB in the odds. They've got to be 500 to 1.
Oh, they are plus 9,000, 90 to 1.
That's not bad, right? Okay, but we'll take all our. We'll bet the USA to beat the Netherlands next week in the football. When that comes in, we put all the money on GB.
Who does the World Great Baseball Britain play in the knockout round?
We've got the States, whatever group that is.
Oh, who's?
Oh, you're on about the football, that? Sorry, or the baseball?
Yeah. No. I'm talking about soccer.
Oh,
now.
The World Cup. Senegal.
Ooh, watch out, Senegal. They're frisky.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Be a really tough game. Bit of a clash of styles, that one. So, yeah, that's going to be their games Saturday and Sunday, I think. So, yeah, not too far away. Yeah, thanks very much, Dylan. It was lovely to catch up and chat. You see your little smiley face. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Munaf and Noah will be around with some AL chat at some point later in the week. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Like, rate, subscribe, get on the podcast, listen to the World Cup Gambling Podcast. It's brilliant. The hosts, handsome, funny. It's an absolute hoot. So get across there and listen to that. Good luck with whatever you're betting on, NFL, World Cup. Keep an eye on the baseball. Keep an eye out for our shows, because we're going to keep up these little fireside chats between now and spring training kicks in. And we'll do some World Baseball Classic stuff as well. Dylan, thank you very much indeed. Enjoy the rest of the World Cup.
Thank you, boss. Gotta listen to the World Cup podcast and just go USA. We're going to bring home the whole thing.
Until then, we'll see you down the road, cheers.